All right, yeah, those are the joys, the primary focus of the book of Philippians. And do you remember what areas we're supposed to rejoice in? There's three areas. You guys remember?
Gospel.
Gospel, that was the third one.
Spirit
wasn't the second one, or wasn't one. It was close, so what kind of broader than spirit? What's the next thing above spirit, the general God? There you go. So, yeah, the Spirit, God, Christ as well. As the second one, do you guys remember what the third one was? It's the most important. What?
Others.
Others, yes. One another, more specifically. Not necessarily just anyone, but actually us as a church. We should be, you know, encouraged and find joy in one another. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1. And my goal with Philippians, I told you this before, and is not to go through verse by verse and study every single section of the book, just because when I wrote it out, it was at least 15, 16 weeks to get through it. And I was like, going through 1 Peter, I realized, I was like, towards the end, it kind of drags on. And even though it's great stuff, you kind of lose the momentum. And so I want to try to keep it a little bit shorter and try to hit key points. However, we're starting at verses 1 through 11, so I'm not off to a good start. So we'll see how it goes. But chapter 1, verse 1 and through 11 really kind of goes into, shows and demonstrates Paul's joy within his life and where he got it. So let's go ahead and read that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy and my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am convinced or confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Since both in the gospel you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of the righteousness which comes through Christ, Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. All right, so here you can see Paul, he's opening up his letter, and right off the bat, you see the joy, the excitement of Paul's writing. And growing up with cell phones nowadays and text messages, have you guys ever got the wrong emotional feeling from a text message? Yeah, all the time. It's like, okay, I don't know if that was a joke or if they were serious. You know, so it's like when we read, especially nowadays, it's hard to tell the emotional side. Well, with Paul, there's without a doubt that he is speaking from a heart of joy. And he demonstrates this through within the first chapter of 1 Peter. And it's interesting, and the three things we focused on was Lord, or Christ. And the second thing we focused on was one another, and the third was the gospel. Well, Christ, he mentions in the first chapter 18 times. So he's really focused on Christ. And that's out of 30 verses. So that's every other verse, more than every other verse. He's mentioning Christ. So Christ is the primary focus of chapter 1. But then you see the gospel mentioned 6 times as well, and the emphasis of that as well. But here in this section, you can actually see how Paul responds to the church and the joy he finds within the church. Paul's joy came from his love for the church, and that's where our joy should come from as well. We should love the church. Paul loved the church. He cared so much about the church. If you know about what's going on in the book of Philippians with Paul, Paul's in prison or under house arrest. He was bound to a man, basically waiting for his execution. That was Paul's situation. And here you'd expect, you know, well, you're in that state. Paul, you should be discouraged. You should be disappointed. You should be, you know, just sitting on the couch moping around because there's nothing else to live for. You're done, basically. But here, Paul has none of that kind of attitude. He has joy rather than sorrow. He says, I'm thinking about the church, praying for them, and he has them in his heart. Paul rejoiced, or his joy was found in his love for the church. Paul was longing for the fellowship that he had back when he started the ministry. And fellowship is something we, you know, it's important for as a church we do, Christian fellowship. And fellowship is, the word fellowship is a very simple word. All it means is basically you have something in common with someone else and you're spending time with them, thinking about that thing. So if you're into trains or car derby racing, you can fellowship in those ways. As Christians, our fellowship means so much deeper, so much greater because it's in Christ and what Christ has done in our lives. So today, there's three things I want us to look at within our lives and three ways that the fellowship of the church really impacts us. First of all, we see through Paul's example that he loved the church and that the church was on his mind. The church was on his mind. We see this in verses 3 through 5. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. I remember you, or in all my remembrance. We see from Paul's example that he had the church on his mind. He was thinking about the church. Paul enjoyed the fellowship, and later on he talks about how he hopes to see, even though he's in prison, even though he's basically on trial for his life, he was hoping that he would get the chance to come back to them. He was longing to see them. There's a couple, Paul didn't forget the church. There's a couple who, they were planning for a trip. They got everything ready. They got their bags packed, and they went to the airport. And they were going on a long journey, so they needed lots of stuff. And once they got there, they're standing in line to, you know, to get on board, to check their bags and everything. And the husband tells the wife, I wish we had brought the piano. She kind of looks at him like, what are you talking about? We have 16 bags. We don't need a piano. Like, yeah, but that's where the tickets are. Paul didn't forget the church. Even though he had moved on, even though he had gone in different ways and done other things or, being on trial for his life, he didn't forget the church. And this was a common idea for Paul. He remembered Christians and churches in different areas. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Paul is writing to Timothy. And he says the same kind of thing. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in all my prayers, night and day. Paul had the church on his mind. He was thinking about the church. And we should follow God's example, or Paul's example with this, and that we should we should be focusing on the church, or we should remember the church. And especially, you know, like what we did just yesterday, that should be something that sticks with us. The fun we had, the relationships we build with even with one another, just working side by side, and being encouraged and, you know, trusting one another. We need to remember the good things that happens, and not just that, but any time. Remember the church. Think about the church. I mean, how often do you think about the church? Is it Sunday morning right before you wake up, like, oh, here's church, I got to get ready? Or is it, you know, every day you're thinking, okay, you know, what's going on at church? What can I do? You know, what things are there for us to be involved in? And how can we serve? You know, I'm thankful for these people who help encourage me. We should be thinking about the church and keeping it on our mind. The second thing we look from Paul is that we need to keep the church in our heart as well. The church was in Paul's heart, and we see this in verses 7 and 8. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness now how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. So what does it mean to, you know, to love the church in your heart, or to have the church in your heart? What does Paul mean by that? Well, as I was thinking about it, the best example I have is, you know, with my marriage or my family, and especially with my kids, if thinking about it from that perspective, what does that mean to have them in my heart? Well, it means to basically give up anything that I want. I'd rather please them or make them happy or make their lives better that I want them to grow and to get older and to be in good health. I want them to, to come to know the Lord and have a relationship with Him. You know, I want to make sure that they are taken care of even before myself. I want to see them succeed in life. And that's what, as a father, that's having the kids and my kids in my heart. That's kind of what it looks like. But the same thing goes with your husband or your wife or your mom and your dad or anyone that you hold dear to you. That's what it means. And that's what we should do have with the church as well. We should be like Paul and have the church in our heart. Just like a loved one, like when you go on a trip and you miss or you long to see someone, that's how we should be with the church. When you guys go on trips, do you miss the church at all? Or is it like, okay, we get a break. No responsibilities, I can go, freedom. That's sometimes my reaction too, so I'm guilty. But yeah, that's tends to be our reaction. We should long for it, though. We should want to be with one another. We should long to be with one another, to be encouraged, to be built up, to be strengthened by one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, if you want to turn there with me, speaks about this. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. Speaking about the relationship the church should have with one another. And let us consider how to stimulate one another in love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When a church has each other on its mind, when they're thinking about one another, rather than thinking, how can the church benefit me? But we're looking at one another. We want to encourage one another. We want to build one another up. And that's what we should do. And if we do that as a church, if we, keep the church in our heart, then we will find joy and we will get to experience the joy that Paul had. Even though he was in prison, he had joy. When the church is on your heart, you will learn to sacrifice what you love. You give up your conditions, and you'll show one another that you love each other. Love the church in your heart, and you will find joy. The third thing we learn from Paul is that the church was in his prayers. We see this back in Philippians chapter 1, 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless, until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul was praying for the church. He was not only remembering the church, he wasn't just remembering the church, he was also praying for the church. When was the last time you prayed for the church? I prayed a lot for this event, and I was thinking about that. And as I was preparing for today, I was like, I need to make sure I make an effort every day to pray for the members, for each one of you, or at least take a point to pray for each one of you. And, I was challenged by Paul's writings to do that as well. And one of my favorite times of the week, there's a few things that stick out. One is the devotion we do on Tuesday mornings. It's like the highlight of my week. The second thing is, on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, Kevin and I, we pray. And we pray for you guys. We pray for the leadership, those who are teaching. We pray for the kids. We pray for people who come. But I tell you, that's encouraging. And to pray for one another makes you appreciate one another better. It makes you love one another better. And we need to be doing that within the church. All of us should be keeping the church in our prayer life, not just, as a group, but at individual times. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 through 12 speaks about this as well. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, 11 and 12. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That God would fulfill every desire for goodness. That's a good prayer for us to have. When we think about the church, when we're thinking about, you know, what to pray for, we should pray that the good things, the things that are good in the sight of God will be accomplished. Things like this, or things of, you know, outreach, or spreading the gospel, or even just worshiping with one another, teaching the truth of God's word. We need to pray, or coming up, starting a home Bible study as an example, and starting some devotions and things like that with different groups. Those are things we should be praying about for its success, for its ability to work in one another's lives. There's a story about two wives who were, they were working on the laundry and they were mending some clothing, and the first wife was talking and she was just venting her frustration about her husband. She's like, whenever my husband comes home, he's angry. He's just mad. The house isn't the way it's supposed to be. Nothing's in order. My kids don't behave the way they're supposed to. And church is boring. He learns nothing. And everything's a waste of time. Preacher's boring, tells bad jokes, things like that. And the other wife is listening, and she kind of finishes her spill. And then second wife responds, well, my husband's kind of the opposite. He comes home, and he's excited. He loves being home. And when he comes home, we're playing games. We're spending time with one another. We're joking around. Whenever we go to church, he's there worshiping. He wants to be involved. He's doing as much as he possibly can. Kind of an awkward silence. They keep on working. The first wife is fixing the seat of the pants while the second wife is fixing the knees. Prayer is an important part of our lives, and we need to make sure as a church that we are praying. And which one are you? Are you the one who has a hole in your, you know, in your seat, in your pants? Or do you have it in your knees, which you're praying? We should be encouraging one another to spend time praying. We need to pray for one another and hold each other accountable. We should be rejoicing and praising God for what he has done in our lives. I mean, look at Paul. Look at the life he had. I mean, it wasn't luxurious. He was in prison, basically. Yeah, I tell you, he's probably freer than some of us, huh? Even though he was chained, some of us have bigger chains than what he had. And we don't let go of the things that soak up the joy out of our life that hinder us from experiencing the joy that Christ has given us. And you see the cross on the stage, and this is something I thought about last week, or Emily suggested, and I was like, that's a great idea. It's important for us to remember the joys in our life. And this is an example. I made it this morning. Don't make fun of it. This is an example of something that, I mean, this represents death, it represents pain, this thing should be an image that is just gross, and we should hate it. But it's because of what Christ did for us on it that is a sign of joy. And, you know, we should be encouraged to be joyful. We should be a church that's joyful. People should see, if they ever come in or if we do an event like that, they should see joy in our lives because of what Christ has done. And so this is something we're going to do until we finish Philippians. And I got some just cardstock, simple cards, and lots of permanent markers. It's permanent markers, just warning moms with kids, and yeah. So, but these are, basically my goal is for us to write down things that just bring joy to our life. And not just today, just over the next couple weeks as we go through Philippians, as things come to mind, I want you to go ahead and put it on the cross. And there's tacks right there. And for kids, moms, dads, you might need to help with that. But whenever something comes to mind, like for instance, the prayer time on Sunday morning kind of comes to mind. That brings me joy. But we should put it up there for us all to see and be encouraged by one another. And so I'm going to have these up. And you're welcome during the invitation. If you want to come up, you want to write a word down, you're welcome to. But if you prefer to do it by yourself, I'm here usually or I'm close by, like 2 minutes of walk away kind of thing. So feel free to come and post whatever you want. Whatever brings you joy. And we're going to stand. We're going to pray. And if you have a commitment you want to make, and if there's a decision, or you just need prayer for something, then I encourage you to come up. We can talk about it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the joy you've given us, that you have provided so much for us, that we are just truly blessed. And I pray that we will get to see that through this, and that you have done so much more than we could ever imagine. And I pray that we will love the church and want to please one another rather than pleasing ourselves. I encourage us to let go of our own desires, but to pursue one another's dreams, or to pursue one another's help one another to grow. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.